Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Robert Hess.
Good morning, and welcome to the second day of the 2001 Microsoft Professional Developers Conference. Hopefully all of you enjoyed the Expo Festival last night, getting a chance to talk with other attendees and as well as talk with other partners and things about what they're doing with .NET. Today we've got an exciting day planned for you. We have the start-off session with Yuval Nieman talking about devices in .NET, plus a whole bunch of breakout sessions. I'd like to remind you to make sure you check the ComNet to see if there's any schedule changes, any breakouts you were going to attend, or if there's any additional sessions that were added due to overruns from yesterday. I'd also like to remind you that tonight we have the Counting Crows concert starting up. An important reminder about that is that there will be no bags allowed in the concert. There will be baggage check in both the south and the west entrances, so be sure to check your bags there or not bring them with you. Tomorrow, we're going to start at 7 a.m. We realize that's a bit early, but this is so we can take and catch and plug in to the Windows XP launch live from New York. This launch is going to be broadcast around the world to a bunch of different venues, but this venue is going to be the only venue in which the attendees get their own copy of Windows XP Retail Edition. So that's just a little kind of thank you for getting up so early and attending that session. So make sure you come on time so you can get your copy. And breakfast will be taking and starting at 6:30 rather than at 7, so you can have plenty of time to get some breakfast ahead of time as well. Then on Friday, Rick Rashid, the Senior Vice President of Microsoft Research, will be here to talk about a lot of really great things that the research department at Microsoft is doing surrounding .NET and future technologies. So it'll be really exciting to take and come in and make sure you pay attention to that. And as a final note, you'll notice that there's a lot of evals floating around. We think it's very important for us, anyway, that you fill out those eval forms to let us know what you think about all these sessions. We really do read all those evals, we really do pay attention to your comments, and we take them to heart, and we use that to assist us in making sure that we can provide general sessions, breakout sessions, and overall venue logistics that meet your needs so that you can take and go home with just the best information possible to write great applications. So with that, let's get on with the rest of the day.
This off, I'll be in the next Scorsese movie. Oh man, I'm gonna make the cover of GQ. Oh, the hair. It's perfect.
Come on.
I can't believe VisualStudio.net now does devices. This rocks. This is a piece of cake. First, I'll select my project.
Yeah.
The interface is almost done. Sexy. Time to send this to the emulator and test it.
Fat Freddy's in the house.
It works. I'm too sexy for my platform. Too sexy for my platform. Time to send this moneymaker to my pocket PC.
You're on!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Vice President for the Microsoft Corporation, Yuval Nieman.
Good morning, and thank you for being here this morning. My day job, when I'm not on stage or doing keynotes like this, I run the developer division in Microsoft. And over the last 3 years, the team has been building the .NET framework in VisualStudio.NET. Last year's PDC was our coming out party. It was the first time we talked to you about the promise of web services and XML and how the .NET framework and Visual Studio will be the way to implement those. And we gave you the early bits. And it's really exciting for me to be here today in this year's PDC and see the great momentum around .NET, Visual Studio, and the frameworks. And it was great to see all these demos and talks about Visual Studio yesterday. But more than anything else, the thing that has been so important for the team has been the support from you, the developers, with the early bets you made on our product. And so as a way to say thank you, I'd like to have the lights in the hall and ask anyone who's finished their first .NET application or web service to stand up for a second. I'd like to extend the thanks from the product team and myself to all of you for this great early support. Thank you very much. And so you might ask yourself, why is Yuval, the developer guy, here to talk to you today about devices? Well, devices are a key part of .NET, and to be successful with devices, we must make sure we have great developer support for .NET on devices. Now, in running this project this last 3 years, I've had to play different roles to lead the team through this long, exciting, but at times very difficult project. In the early stages, 3 years ago, I had to be the evangelist, the hopeless optimist that convinced people that we're going to bet on open internet standards, on XML, that we can bet on one common language runtime, we can bet on one programming model for all languages, that we can come up with a new programming language, C#, and that we need to completely redo Visual Basic. I tell you, that was a hard sell up in Redmond 3 years ago. And then, as we made progress and things started to materialize, in the last year, my role has been to be the realist, to say, look, guys, we have enough features. There's great stuff in there, but we need to ship it. You know, freeze the feature set and just focus on performance and stability. And that's what the team has been doing for the last year, and that's where most of the team is back in Redmond, kind of looking for those last few bugs before we release the product. And so using that on the one end, so when we go through projects, sometimes we have to be the optimist, to bet on the future, to bet on new technology. Sometimes we have to be the realist and say, okay, what is it you're delivering today? Or what is it you're going to deliver in the next year? And when thinking about this keynote, I went back and looked at what has been happening in the device space over the last couple of years using those two kind of, what's the promise, what's the reality? And it was interesting to see how much what's been happening in the device space has been like what's been happening in the internet. Great promise, great new technology, a lot of cool new things, but people kind of assuming that way too much is going to happen in the short term, while maybe underestimating what's going to happen in the long term. So when I look at that, these were the promises. We've all seen those graphs that by a certain year, 2003, there's going to be billions of devices out there. We have seen the promise that there is going to be one great way to program all these devices. We've seen the promise of great bandwidth materializing very quickly. And we've also seen people saying, devices are the thing, they're the important thing, and the PCs will become less and less relevant and important. And so I looked at that, and then I put on my realist hat, and okay, what has really been happening the last 2 years? So while there are many, many devices out there, like this phone that I'm carrying with me, very few of them are actually capable of running general purpose applications. While there's been some limited success with things like J2ME and WAP to provide one way to target all devices, none of them have really taken off in a big way, and I doubt if they will because of one aspect. Both these approaches and others try to target the least common denominator, and we're not offering enough compelling value to our customers. Bandwidth clearly is growing slower than we thought. It's growing. It's growing on you know, fairly constant rate. Some people compare it to kind of Moore, what's been happening with Moore's law in processing power. But things like 3G, things like Bluetooth have not taken off nearly as fast as they were promised, you know, as you know, even just a year ago. We at Microsoft are quite excited about one specific technology, 802.11. I think Bill talked about it, and you'll see a little more today. And in some areas, that is becoming very, very useful. For example, in Microsoft, it's everywhere. So, you know, in my job now, I go to lots of meetings. I take my laptop with me with a wireless card, and I'm connected all the time. That's great, but that's only happening in pockets. We'll expect these pockets to grow to other places, but it's going to be slow. So devices are going to be either connected through slow links, and many times they're not going to be connected at all. And we need to take care of that. And the PC, if anything, is maybe more central. And the reason in my mind the PC remains central is the PC is the device we all use that offers the richest user experience. It has the large monitor, it has the big keyboard, it has the mouse, it has all these other devices connected to it, and it offers just the richest way to interact. And in fact, when I do, but I can't always use my PC because I'm on the road, I'm in other occasions where I can't have my PC, I have other devices. And when I use those devices, one thing that is key is that those devices are in sync with my device. For example, again, my cell phone. I want to have the contacts from my desktop on my cell phone. So the PC remains very, very central to the computing needs and how people use computers. So given this reality, what is the strategy that we're assuming? What are the bets that we're making to bring .NET to devices? So it's actually very simple. We're making very few bets. The first bet, which is not surprising for anyone who's been following Microsoft, we're betting that the richest user experience is the thing that, in the end of the day, will succeed with customers. End-to-end integration is critical. My world today is made up of lots of computing islands. I have my desktop, I have my PDA, I have my cell phone. Each of them is different. I use them in a different way, and I have to manually move things between them. The websites and the applications that I use are all different. I log on to them in a different way. I interact with them in a different way. And finally, work and home are two disconnected islands. And a key part of .NET is bridging all those islands and bringing them together. So my personal information flows with me on whatever device I'm using. It follows me when I visit different sites. And finally, it goes with me from work to home and back. So end-to-end integration is a key part, and my services clearly play a very important role in that. Last, but definitely not least, developer productivity. And, you know, something that was true in the boom 2 years ago is true in our today's kind of slowdown economy today, and I'm sure will be true 2 years from now when hopefully the economy will recover. Technology is driving growth. And the scarcest, most expensive resource in this whole technology ecosystem is you, the developers, because there's more and more software that needs to be written to enable all this rich technology. And making you more productive, being able to do more in less time, is critical so you have higher return for your business and critical so you can get time to you can get to market quicker ahead of your competition. And it's very, very important to us. In terms of the business, while clearly with all this great technology advances, we'll see new business models springing up in the next few years, our assumption that in the next couple of years, the biggest opportunity is going to be in extending existing businesses. Let me give you a couple of examples, and in fact, you'll see some demos later that illustrates those examples. First one, if you are a B2C, devices will help you reach a broader set of customers and maybe interact with them in a more instantaneous way so you can extend your B2C business. Maybe perhaps the even bigger opportunity is in the corporate space. Devices like PDA and cell phones and pagers are becoming a key part of the corporate IT infrastructure. And one trend that I predict we'll be seeing a lot in the next 2 years is starting to move some of the applications, some of the logic, some of the data that today you have on your corporate desktop onto your devices. And that's where I think the biggest opportunity is going to be in the next 2 years. So Those are the assumptions, the bets we're making in our strategy of taking .NET to devices. And just to get some support kind of that to validate our assumption, this is a research that Forrester has done. They went and talked to 50 large corporate customers and asked them what applications they expect to see on PDAs in the next 2 years. And the most important thing out of this is while the PDA remains, function remains important as a personal organizer, the key new trend is seeing how corporate applications, the corporate data, will also want to, these corporate customers want to move that onto the devices. So that's a key trend that really supports the strategy that we're going to be following with. So the first pillar of Microsoft investment in devices is our deep, deep investment in different devices, different form factors, targeting different scenarios. And perhaps the one thing that is in common to all these scenarios, in all of these cases, we are building the richest user experience in that category. And that's how we think we'll be successful. And later on today, I'm going to show you some exciting new devices, and you'll see some of that richness. So what are we doing for in terms of taking .NET to devices for developers? Well, the obvious thing we're doing is we're leveraging all the great work that we've been doing over the last 3 years in building Visual Studio and the .NET framework. So we're going to use the same programming model to target devices. We're going to use the same set of tools in Visual Studio and our partners, to target devices. And, of course, we have the same two application architectures. The first one is the rich or smart client, where data and code resides on the device. The second one is where the business logic runs on the server, and then you project the presentation from the server to devices. So really, nothing surprising here. So I'd like to now drill down into each of those application architecture and show you what is it that we're building. So the first thing I'd like to do is announce that in the CDs that you got for the PDC, you have the release candidate of the Microsoft Mobile Internet Toolkit, or MIT for short. You saw it in the demo yesterday. Scott Guthrie and Eric Rutter's keynote showed how you can target a large number of devices using a single code base. We're going to show you more of that in a few minutes. But I'm very pleased to announce that we have the release candidate, and by that we mean that technology, that product is done. The only thing that's left is to find those last few bugs over the next few weeks before it's released. It's on the same timeline and tightly integrated into the .NET framework and Visual Studio .NET. And so let's drill down into what it's all about. So as I mentioned before, it's about having a single code base that can target a very large number of different devices. And the key to remember here is while it's one programming model and one code base to target a large number of different devices, the key thing that's unique about this approach is that it strives to offer the best, richest experience on each of those devices, which is exactly the opposite of the least common denominator approach of something like WAP. So let's look a little bit at the architecture. And this diagram here is the same diagram that Eric Rutter used when he talked about the architecture. And I want to show you where MIT fits in the overall architecture. You can think of MIT as an extension of ASP.NET. In fact, what MIT is a set of controls that augment the ASP.NET controls. The ASP.NET controls targets the rich desktop browsers, and MIT controls target a very large number of devices. And like the rest of the framework, the MIT was designed to be very extensible. You can extend these controls by simply inheriting and adding more functionality. You can create new controls by inheriting from a base control that has all those characteristics. And you can also extend it to target new devices that you want to target specifically. So it's very extensible. And again, the other key benefit that's unique to the .NET framework, and there's not another framework that allows you to do it, is to have one programming model, one code base, one way to write your business logic, and then just change the presentation between wanting to target desktop browsers and all these hundreds of millions of devices that MIT supports. And so that is, again, all about leveraging the work that you, the developer, is doing and making it easier and cheaper for you to maintain that code base, even beyond the coding phase. Also, we've done some deep integration into Visual Studio.NET, so the design experience in the Web Forms Designer in Visual Studio allows you to have a great drag and drop experience when you're designing your user interfaces for these devices. So to give you a taste of what you can do with MIT, I'd like to invite Cactus and ISV from Ottawa, Canada, to show you some cool ways in which they're extending their mobile commerce application with MIT. So I'd like to invite Gary Dickinson, Vice President from Cactus, and Andres Sanabria from Microsoft to show you some of the cool stuff.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much,
Yuval. Well.
What is that bag you have there?
Actually, this is the bag that I always carry when I go to customers. And I have a lot of devices in here to actually be able to do demos.
Can you show us?
Sure. Let's do it. Ching. So this is my bag.
So now you know why the rack is there in all those bags that you got on the first day.
Terrific. Well, Cactus has been working in the mobile internet space for a little more than 2 years now, and we're really excited about the Microsoft Mobile Internet Toolkit.
So about 2 years ago, we didn't have the Mobile Internet Toolkit, so what other products did you use?
Well, we were actually building some mobile banking applications on Apache's Cocoon and the iPlanet server technologies.
And what made you switch to the Mobile Internet Toolkit?
Well, the toolkit's adaptive component technologies is head and shoulders above the XSL technologies that we were using before. And the extensibility modules, or the extensibility model that we are that's available, makes it possible for us to actually capture and reuse some key components inside our projects as we go forward. And last but not least, the Visual Studio.NET authoring provides the ability for us to really save some money and some time.
Can you tell us about the application that we'll be looking at today?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be looking at a mobile commerce application that will enable the purchasing of last-minute tickets for sports venues. We came up with this idea at a meeting at Microsoft when we received an email on our BlackBerry device that indicated that there was tickets available in Ottawa, great tickets available, for a weekend game when we would be back. Unfortunately, in the meeting, we couldn't really dial the 1-800 number in order to buy the tickets. We ended up not going to the game. We saw this as a lost opportunity, number one, for us to go to the game. And then number two, the hockey team lost the opportunity to have four devoted fans in the stands to watch their game as well. So we're always looking for really compelling reasons to use mobile technologies, and we thought this would be a really killer app to use.
And besides the Mobile Internet Toolkit, what other products and technology did you use for the application?
Well, in this application, we're also using Commerce Server 2000 as the base platform. We're using Passport for the sign-in, and we're using Visual Studio.NET as our development environment.
That's great.
Well, how about we take a look at and see how we can actually buy tickets online, anytime, anywhere, and using any device?
Sure, let's do it.
Even in a meeting.
Even in a meeting. Okay, this particular site actually is a web commerce site for the desktop that the actual user or the fan would go to indicate what their mobile preferences were for the future. Now, once they've entered their preferences for notification, any of the tickets that would be entered into the system, if they fit the parameters that they put in, would send a notification to their mobile device. So actually, maybe let's take a look at the application from a web point of view. Do you have a WAP cell phone in your bag?
Let me check it out. So, NTT Docomo,
cool.
I'm a phone supported. This is not it, but this is the WAP phone. So let's take a look at the WAP phone. So what I have here is, okay. So what I have here is my WAP cell phone. I'm going to connect in real time to my team, to the Microsoft.NET hockey team. So at this point, we'll be able to check if there are any tickets available for tonight's game. So let's check it out. So once again, this is real time, going to the servers, and there are a couple of sections that have seats available. Gary, last night, I learned that you're a big hockey fan. So which one of those sections seems like a center ice, really good sections?
Well, actually, section 105, that's right behind the player's bench, those are great tickets.
You know, let's get it before they're gone.
So center ice is the operative way?
Oh, absolutely. You can see both ends of the actual action.
I see.
That's super. So let's click on section 105. This is going real time to my commerce side. Let's buy D29 and D30. So let's check the price information. What about $55?
That's pretty fair.
Okay, let's buy it. One of the cool features of Microsoft Passport is the ability to sign in by using a phone number and a PIN. Once I'm signed into Passport, all my account information will be available. So let me sign into Passport. I'm going to change my keyboard to numeric. The phone number that I'll be using is 1-800-555-3333. Let's click OK. My PIN, let me change to numeric. 1, 2, 3, 4, a really secure one. And let's sign in.
Hold on, Andres. That was my phone number and my PIN.
Gary, I thought, I'm doing a demo for 1,000 people, for a couple of thousand people. So worthwhile you're like spending a couple of bucks for a ticket.
Okay, that's fair. But you better use my MasterCard because you maxed out my Visa last night.
Sorry about it. So let's click on the MasterCard. Let's click on buy. What is happening right now, we're going to a Commerce Server 2000. We have started a full transaction on the commerce side. We're checking real time the seating information. We're going to the bank, checking about the credit card, and here we have the confirmation, which basically means we can go to the stadium, pick up the tickets at the gate, and be able to have a lot of fun.
That's terrific. Very cool. The Mobile Internet Toolkit provides for a whole backpack full of devices to connect. That includes cell phones, pagers, and PDAs. Do you happen to have maybe a BlackBerry device that we can actually take a look at the same system on?
Let me take my back. Here's a Palm device, which is actually supported on the Mobile Internet Toolkit. Here's a Ring BlackBerry device. So what I'll be doing is I'm going to take my Ring BlackBerry device. So let's turn off.
We are?
Oh, here. So let me change the screen. And what I'll be doing is I'm going to be going to the Cactus website to be able to check the team information. This is real time. I'm going to the same URL as you mentioned, Yuval. I'm going to be getting a different information. In this case, what I'll be getting is HTML information, not WML, but we're going to the same URL. That's the power of the Microsoft Internet Toolkit Adaptive Rendering. So let's go down a little bit further. Let's check the availability.
Well, MIT is basically converting the presentation to whatever it's sensing what's coming from with the URL, and then it's sending back in the appropriate format. It's
yes.
Doing all that plumbing work for you.
Yes, actually what is happening, we're getting the request in the toolkit. We're learning about the device. This is an HTML device. We generate HTML for the device. If it's a WML device, we generate WML markup language for the device. So we're still waiting.
Are we connected?
Yeah.
We're connected. It's taking a little longer than we actually used to.
Yeah.
The usual thing with demos, it always takes longer when you're on stage.
Okay. Yeah, it's downloading. So here what we have is a black and white image, which is what the green BlackBerry device is able to display. And if we scroll down a little bit more, we will be able to see all the sections that are available.
So you can see Centerize right there, huh?
Yes, so let's check 105. So what we will be seeing is the actual seats that are available. So there are a couple of seats here. And if we wanted, we could be able to check out different seats and buy more seats.
That's terrific. Actually, what we're looking at is the black and white capabilities of that particular device. Now, we also know that the Pocket PC has some very rich browsing capabilities. How about we show them what that can actually do with the same solution?
Sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to browse the same URL with my Pocket IE. So this is what it looked like in Internet Explorer. As you can see, we have a really rich user interface. Actually, you can feel the richness in it. So what I want to do is click on Check Availability. And this is the actual stadium in which the Microsoft.NET team plays. Something that is really cool is that we're taking full advantage of the Pocket IE. So we can directly click on the image region and be able to browse for a specific section.
Oh, so this time the image is in color and live?
Yes.
Great.
So this is the actual information coming from the site.
That's terrific. The application actually took two developers about 2 weeks to create. But because of the extensibility of the mobile internet toolkit and because of the flexibility inside the seat selector control from Cactus, we're able to actually modify this site to rebrand it to another team fairly readily. Andreas, how about you show us how we would rebrand this particular site for another team?
Sure. So what I have here in this computer is VisualStudio.NET, the mobile internet toolkit, and the Cactus seat selector control. So in order to rebrand the site, I'm going to click on the seat selector control, and I only need to change two properties. So let's change the first one, which is the commerce store. This is where the control is going to take the information from. So we're going to be using the Ottawa Senator. I happen to know that you really like that team. So let's check on the Senator.
What Andreas is using here is the web form designer for mobile internet toolkit.
That's right.
So, and the second property that we need to change is the actual image of the stadium. So I want to save my application. I want to rebuild my application. And it compiled without any problem. I want to switch to my Pocket PC device. So let me go to the Cactus site. So it's going to the home page. At this point, we're compiling the page. And as you can see, we have a new logo in the Pocket IE, which is the Ottawa Senators. And if we click on the check availability, here we have all the seating information and the actual graphic of the stadium.
That's terrific.
Yeah. So, Gary, tell me something. After working with the mobile internet toolkit, you think your developers will want to go back to use those other tools?
No way. Actually, in the future, we'll be using the mobile internet toolkit for all of our web projects going forward.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take your tool.
I guess it's easy for Gary to explain to his mother what he's doing. He's selling sports tickets. So I'd like to just quickly recap what we saw in this demo. We saw the richest user experience. We saw how moving from one device to a richer device, the same code was producing richer and richer user interaction. We saw the end-to-end integration with Passport, allowing him right there to log on to Passport and to purchase the tickets, still being sitting in that meeting at Redmond that he mentioned earlier. And last, but of course not least, developer productivity. 2 weeks, two developers to get this and a lot more that they have working done. So I think I'm hoping you're beginning to see some of the great things that we're allowing you to do with devices. I would like now to switch to the other side or the other application architecture, and talk about the things we're doing to enable you to build rich, smart client application where the code and data is running on the device. And I'm very pleased to announce today the technology preview release that's on your CDs of the .NET Compact Frameworks, which is a subset of the .NET framework that allows you to target devices. And also the smart device extensions for VisualStudio.NET that has the great support to target those devices as well as we can target the desktop or the server. And really, just like last year, we gave you a preview of the desktop version of VS and the frameworks. I'm very confident that in next year's PDC, we'll show you that we're ready for you to really use it, and hopefully we'll have lots of you already betting on it. So let's look in a little more detail on what we have for you to target rich devices. So first of all, we have today in the market two great tools that many of you are already using to target Pocket PC and Windows CE. We have the embedded visual tools, embedded visual C++, and embedded visual basic that are targeting the Win32 APIs in Windows CE and Pocket PC. Today, I'm going to focus on what we're doing in taking .NET to the smart devices. And as I mentioned, the two important components are the .NET Compact Framework and the smart device extensions to Visual Studio.NET. So again, I'd like to, if I can, take a look at the architecture and see how it fits in the overall architecture. So what is the .NET Compact Framework? The .NET Compact Framework is a lightweight version of the offering we have on the desktop that's been designed for the resources available on devices. So it uses less memory, less CPU, less power, so that it can fit very well on these rich devices. It's a compatible feature set. It's a compatible feature subset of the desktop framework. Now, the reason why we think being a compatible subset is important is not because we expect that you will take your app as is from the desktop and move it to the client, to the device, or to multiple devices. We do not believe that you write application once and then it runs in a great way on the different devices. We believe that to exploit the features of a specific device, you need to write code that's specific to that device. However, having that compatible subset means that you can transfer the skills that you've already learned on the desktop when programming the desktop or the server to device and to any device that you'll be targeting with the .NET Compact Framework. In fact, we fully expect, and we're going to be doing some of that, we expect people to, for every specific device, add extension frameworks that exploit the capabilities of that device. So for a cell phone, for example, I would expect to see some frameworks or API that allows me to dial, to deal with numbers, dial the phone, etc. For a device that's going to be focused on multimedia, I would expect to have APIs that can play great music or show me videos, etc. So we fully expect that to happen. And the way we designed it, there is a radically smaller common language runtime at the core. On top of that, we have most of the base class library, because that's that core programming model that's going to be common across all the devices. And then for some of the richer devices, such as Windows CE and Pocket PC, we've also built a compact version of ADO, the data access layer, and XML, because XML and of course web services and consuming web services is as easy on the device as we've made it on the desktop, and that's a critical part of .NET. And finally, we've taken Windows forms from the desktop and kind of shrunk them down a little bit so they can fit on the device. So you can really create something that's very similar to your desktop corporate applications on the device. And then, of course, there is the Visual Studio part of it, making you very, very productive. So first of all, in terms of languages, in the first version, we're going to support C# and Visual Basic .NET. We expect that in future versions, we'll add more support. C++, add extension for C++ for .NET. But we also expect that people will continue to want to do native code, C++ native code. That's an important part of .NET. .NET does not exclude native code. In fact, it builds on native code and allows you to build on all the investments you already have there. We also will have great support with the designers. It's not in the bits that you have, in the preview bits that you have. But we'll have the Windows Forms designer, we'll have the XML designer, and of course we're going to have all the RAD features. So when you hit F5, it'll ask you, do you want to run this on the emulator on your PC, or do you want to compile the bits and then download them directly to the device and debug it right there? So we're going to have all this great experience. In fact, it'll feel to you exactly the same as targeting the desktop or the server. So to show you how easy it is to exploit those benefits, I'm going to have two demos with some two great partners to show you that. And I'd like to start with Groove. The founder of Groove, for people who are not familiar, is Ray Ozzie. Ray Ozzie is the man behind Lotus Notes. About 4 years ago, he left IBM. He saw the opportunity to allow people to collaborate over the internet, and has also been one of the very early adopters of XML and web services. And to show you some of the great things that Groove has been doing, moving their desktop application to a pocket PC, I'd like to invite John Burkhart and Scott Prather from Groove Networks to show us some of the great work. Hey, Scott. Hey, see you. Hey, John.
How are you, Paul?
Great. Thank you. For many of you, I understand you don't have an opportunity or haven't had an opportunity yet to understand what Groove is or to see our product even. So briefly, Groove is an environment that enables collaboration to happen quickly for people to come together, share information in context of their conversations, which enables quicker decision making. But the power of Groove is not necessarily the fact of its out-of-the-box applications, but that it's a platform that you can extend and even build new tools for today, leveraging existing COM componentry that you've worked on, and in the very near future, leveraging any componentry that's developed with CLR-compatible languages. Many of our early adopters are taking advantage of this platform, like GlaxoSmithKline, and they're using Groove to help assist in the collaboration of processes like FDA drug submissions and clinical research trials, pulling together a lot of individuals inside and outside their firewall to, again, come to quicker decisions, because in their world, a day saved within the process of a drug's life is $1.5 million to their bottom line. So they see a very valuable capability within the Groove product itself. However, all of us who are in the computer industry understand that sometimes what we develop is not enough, and our customers are continuing to ask us for new features. One of those features is to extend our existing PC-based platform onto mobile devices. And so what I'd like to do now is show you an example of that. What we have set up is just a very basic demonstration where John and I are going to play a couple of doctors, and we're collaborating on a patient's data. Okay? Cool. So what you have here is you basically have a very basic application, again, like I said, that includes a discussion about the patient, kind of the case reports itself that contains some files, and pictures of like MRIs or scans or those kinds of things, which we don't have any in the space right now. So you can see here that we're working on this patient, and I want John has, you know, kind of notified me to let him know when the scans are in. So I have one now, so let me just go ahead and say. Scans have come back, and I'll just let him notify that right now.
So on my wireless iPack, I can stay in touch with Scott through the Groove shared space. The way I'm doing that is through a new API that we're developing called the Groove Remote Client Framework. And what that is, it's an API developed using SOAP, and because it uses SOAP and XML, is fully compatible with .NET. So what I'd like to show you is a prototype that we've been developing for the Pocket PC using the .NET Compact Framework. Now you can see here that I have access to the same information that Scott can see on his PC, and that information is live. I can interact with that, I can change that, and my changes will be propagated over to Scott's computer. So here I have my case reports for my patients, and I can update their reports, and I can read about new reports from them. And here's the same discussion forum with Scott's new entry in it, and it looks like he might have that MRI that I've been waiting for.
So while we're waiting for that, Scott, does this work also when one of you are offline?
Yeah, one of the powers of Groove is that with its peer-to-peer architecture, it allows individuals to work online or offline, disconnected real-time or asynchronously.
So when I added that new entry, it pushed the XML data from that discussion entry up to a relay server for this device, and then that change was propagated to all the endpoints in the shared space.
So now John's kind of going over and waiting for the file as it goes there. You can see that he's getting the full functionality of the product on his PC, and what I'll do now is I'll just go ahead and switch over, and I'll go ahead and add this image into the thing. It'll now propagate this back up, again using SOAP requests, back through the service and send it to the PC. Now, one of the amazing things about this was, you know, we like to think of ourselves as fairly decent developers at Groove, but the fact was that we didn't have any mobile expertise about a month ago. So John was able to take the .NET Compact framework, get into it, develop it with some help from Microsoft, and build this prototype in, you know, less than, you know, 4 weeks, so roughly about 3 weeks of actual coding time. Wow. So it just shows you that, you know, the frameworks that we're being given are really speeding up our development time and pushing that in.
Well, so the nice thing is that we had already put in an investment into .NET, learning .NET, doing a lot of other integration. We found that we could put that same investment into engineering resources and apply that to a completely different platform.
You can see now what we've got is a little what we like to call somewhat real time. We're kind of upgrading that speed to real time here shortly, but this is going through.
So how are we doing
there? There we go.
Well, you can see it's attempting to download the file.
Maybe I should have added a little bit of a smaller image there.
So, great. Okay, well, unfortunately not everything worked, but this is great. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Yep. Great.
So it's the rule of keynotes. Demos will work in the rehearsal, but then not work when you're on stage. So again, I'd like to recap what are the key points that we saw here. First was, again, the rich user experience. And it's about having the data on the device, about the device being able to communicate when it's online, but also to store things when it's offline and later when it's connecting to relate back. It's about being able to show that image. You didn't see it, but the same CAT scan image of the brain would have been displayed on the Pocket PC in full color. It's about the end-to-end integration that Groove has built with their web services to have this relay service between all the endpoints. And of course, it's about developer productivity. Getting that level of functionality in 4 weeks without any prior experience with Pocket PC or with the .NET frameworks by one developer is pretty amazing. So, you know, I just love this. The next partner is a large corporate partner of ours, Newport News Shipbuilding. Now, if you've been following the news the last couple of days, Newport News are in the news. And what is happening is two of the largest defense companies in the U.S., General Dynamics and Northrop, have been fighting which of them can go buy Newport News. So to show you what Newport News is doing and why they're so valuable to these guys, I'm going to first show you a video of what Newport News is all about. So video, please.
Newport News Shipbuilding is the largest private shipyard in the United States. Our two principal products are aircraft carriers, for which we're the sole source supplier to the United States Navy. We also build nuclear submarines.
Nafteon is a wholly owned subsidiary of Newport News Shipbuilding, and we're really in the engineer-to-order services business. the single key business problem that all shipyards face when they're working together on a project is how to exchange information. How do you really tell where the project is at any point in time? How to communicate with the common customer, which is normally the Navy, and do so in an environment without having to completely synchronize everybody's different disparate IT tools. And as we started hearing more about the .NET architecture, everything was based around the idea of not delivering applications and not just getting connectivity, but really providing business services using the Internet as a medium. That's directly in line with where Naptheon wants to go, so .NET became the logical tool for us to use. Microsoft.net gave us capabilities that we couldn't find anyplace else. What we're doing with ShipRepair.net is providing a service to a group of people that we're going to deliver across the net. ShipRepair.net allows everybody to operate off the same page. It's like building a house with a bunch of different subcontractors on it. You've got different companies that have got specific tasks, but you as the project manager need to know how the entire house is coming together. ShipRepair.net allows us to do the same thing for the repair of a complex vessel like an aircraft carrier.
The first implementation of this will be used on the Nimitz to do the maintenance that will be done by several shipyards and all coordinated through one program administrator.
The number one thing people need to know about .NET is it is real.
XML and the web services is going to be a real big piece of everybody's infrastructure, whether we realize it today or not. It's going to be used internally for integration between your internal applications. Externally, you can pose it as an external service. You can use it in multiple ways.
Probably the biggest benefit is the rapid application development environment of Visual Studio.net specifically. Because of the time requirements of this application, rapid time to market was a key element, and the developers were able to go from concept to prototyping to design in a very quick time frame.
Time to market, performance, and reliability are the cornerstones for Naptheon to be successful in the years. We're relying on Microsoft.NET framework to help us achieve those goals.
Ultimately, what we're trying to accomplish is to efficiently spend limited dollars that the Navy has to maintain the fleet.
The .NET technology isn't just beneficial for Naptheon or Newport News Shipbuilding. The ability for us to build applications sooner, the ability for us to make them more stable in the long term will make it so that the Navy has savings, and thus us taxpayers will have savings as well.
With .NET, it's really taken Microsoft to a new level on being an integration and a communications provider. Which is really going to be the key, I think, to where information services is going to go in the future.
This technology is allowing us to break new ground. The .NET framework will be the standard that we're going forward with within Naptheon.
So, to demo to us shipbuilder.net application, I'd like to invite Kenny Roberts, the manager of e-business at Naptheon, and Ilya Bookstein, group program manager at Microsoft.
Hey, Yuval, how are
you?
How's
it going?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Now, the plan up until yesterday was to have Steve Hassel, the CEO of Naptheon, be here on stage with us, but I guess because of the recent event, he's been called back to headquarters.
Right.
So, Ilya, are you going to be CEO for a day?
As long as I get the salary for a day, I'm happy to fill in. So, what we saw in the video was that Newport News and Naptheon have been using .NET for about the last year, and with the ship repair project that they've completed and are planning to go live in January and actually use it on their work on the USS Nimitz, Newport News stand to realize very significant gains in their time to market and in their overall efficiency. But some business challenges still remain. One of the biggest challenges is the inspectors on board the ship. When they notice something's wrong, today they have to fill out a paper report such as this. It could literally take hours for this report to get back to the office, where it has to be rekeyed, leaving a lot of room for error, and slowing down the overall process of repairing the ship. So what Newport News would love to have are devices which they can give to their inspectors, so the inspectors can enter information in real time and with great accuracy. But the challenge with that is that deep inside the bowels of a huge aircraft carrier such as the Nimitz, it's virtually impossible to have network connectivity, wireless or otherwise. So Napthion have built a prototype using the Compact framework and the smart device extensions for visualstudio.net of an application which they think can address this problem. So Kenny, why don't we go inside the ship, so to speak, and take a look?
All right, sounds great. But you know, for safety reasons, we got to have the right gear on before we go. So I've got you some some equipment here.
All right, we've got the right gear for the job.
Got to have your hard hats.
Better safe than sorry.
And you know, when we're down on a carrier, there's lots of parts, of which I just happened to bring one here with me. This is a typical valve that you would find on board an aircraft carrier. And as inspectors, I'd go down there and I could obviously see that there's something wrong with the valve.
I'll trust you with that.
The handle's worn, and actually it looks like it's been leaking around the seals a little bit. So in the old days, we'd have to fill out our paper-based inspection deficiency report, which would take a lot of time. It'd take time to fill it out. We'd have key errors when we took it back to the main office for them to key it in. We have hours of delay. It could be up to a day that before they got the information in. But now, with this wonderful pocket PC that we've got here and the .NET Compact framework, we can do all of this right here on the ship.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the application.
All right. What we've got right here is our main startup screen for the ship repair application. And from here, it takes us to the project screen. And in this case, it's for the aircraft carrier Nimitz that we saw in the video. And I want to fill out the equivalent to the paper-based inspection deficiency report.
So this is where you're basically ordering a replacement part for the part that's malfunctioning.
Correct. And if I can get... There we go. What this does is pull up a list of all the open work items that are associated with the carrier. And about the sixth one down here, we've got one called Replace Valve.
Now, Kenny, are we seeing a browser here? Is this a browser application?
Actually, what it's doing is running on the .NET Compact framework. It's in a disconnected set, so because when we're down on a carrier, there's no way that we can be connected back up to the network. So we have to have the wireless piece to do that.
So it's a Windows Forms application on the...
Yes, it is.
Right.
What we've got here is the detail screen, of which we can actually find out and submit the information that we want about the valve up for approval. And here I can select a condition code, of which I'm going to pick lost or damaged. And then we want to make sure that we have the right valve. So we've got the ability now to go in and actually look at an attachment or a picture of the valve.
So this lets the inspector be sure that they get the right part ordered right from the beginning.
That's right. And with the compact devices now being able to hold up to 2 gigs of information, we can store many of the images that we would automatically use down on the ship. So let me pull one up here. I'm pretty sure it's this one right here. We'll pull that up. And what?
Whoa. That doesn't look quite right there, little buddy.
I guess not. I tell you what, let me check the part number on this thing. Okay. Sorry about that.
You should get it right.
Yeah. I think it's this relief valve right here. So we'll pull that open, and we'll double-check to make sure it's the valve we got. And
that looks a lot better to
me. That definitely looks like the right valve. Okay. From here, since I've got all the information in, I can take my pocket PC, go into an area where the frequency will pick it up, and it'll download right up to the main server. So why don't we do that now?
So it'll synchronize automatically.
It's going to synchronize automatically.
Now, this looks like a pretty great application. Did it take you a long while to build it?
Actually, it didn't take long at all. We took the web form application that we have on the server, and we converted it to WinForms, and then we had a company called Advanced Information Sciences come in and actually do the programming for us. It took them only 12 days to do it, and it works great.
That's fantastic.
Can we see some of that code, you think?
Sure. Yeah. Let's take a look at how it was built, Yuval.
Okay. Can we have Chris Flores? Can you join us? Hey, Chris. Hard hat area. Whoa.
Thanks, Skipper.
So one. Good recovery there.
Thank you.
Good. So what are you going to do for us?
All right. Well, every VisualStudio.net developer that's here today knows that you can easily use VisualStudio.net to program the server and to program the desktop. However,
Chris, I think we lost your mic. I think you're getting a mic replacement. There's a reason we have to wear hard hats around here.
Okay, I think you're going to hold the mic for him. Here, I'll hold for you.
Do I do a song now as well? So in addition to programming the desktop and the server, once you install the VisualStudio.net smart device extensions, you can also program devices as well. Now, the devices that you can program once you have the smart device extensions installed include the Pocket PC 2000, the Pocket PC 2002, as well as future devices based on the Windows CE.NET operating system. And because this is all based on .NET, you have the same programming model on the server, on the desktop, as well as on the device. So let's go ahead and take a look at how the process starts inside of Visual Studio. As you might expect, you have your choice of languages inside of Visual Studio, and in this case, you can use either Visual Basic.NET or C# to create your device applications. But because I have the smart device extensions installed, you'll notice a couple new additions to the project types. If I want to create an application that takes full advantage of the Pocket PC 2000 as well as the Pocket PC 2002, I can simply choose the Pocket PC project type. However, if I want to target a broader range of devices, I can choose Windows CE, a Windows CE application, and here I can create an application that runs across all Windows CE.NET devices, including the Pocket PC 2000 as well as the Pocket PC 2002. But in this case, I already have a project loaded. This is the ShipRepair.net project, the same project that you've just seen Kenny demonstrate a moment ago. So what I'd like to do is to give you an idea of just how easy it is to consume web services on a handheld device. And what you're about to see is that the process is identical to consuming a web service on the desktop or on the server. The process starts out with right-clicking on the project window and choosing Add Web Reference. And these are all the steps that you're accustomed to today. But I've already done that. So at this point, all I have to do is write a line of code to declare the object. And even so, I'm using a web service that might be halfway around the United States or halfway around the world. I can program it as if it were local on my, cool. on my machine.
So you don't have to type everything, huh? That's a good demo feature.
Thank goodness for IntelliSense. All right, so now that I have the object instantiated, all I have to do is write a few more lines of code to communicate with the web service and extract the appropriate ship part information. So I'm going to take advantage of Visual Studio's drag and drop capabilities and add the few remaining lines of code necessary. So now that I've added the web reference and written a few lines of code to consume the web service, at this point I can go ahead and deploy my application. Now with the smart device extensions installed, you can go ahead and complete your mobile development even if you don't have a device ready. So in this case, if you look in the upper left-hand corner of the screen, the smart device extensions gives me the option of either deploying the application to my physical device, or if I don't have a device, I can take advantage of the superior emulation technology delivered by the smart device extensions. So I'm going to go ahead and deploy my application to the emulator. And here we can see the Pocket PC 2002 emulator. This emulator, these are the exact same bits that run on the Pocket PC device. So if your application runs inside of the emulator, you can be sure that you have an application that will run once it's finally deployed to the device. And here you can see we have the exact same application running inside of the emulator. And at this point, now that it's working, I can go ahead and deploy it. So as you can see, the smart device extensions for VisualStudio.net allow you to use the same tools, the same techniques, and the same code to program devices. So everybody here, every Visual Studio developer here, is now a mobile device developer.
Great. So before you go, Chris, so yes, we saw you on that video before kind of modeling the Pocket PC.
Yeah.
So how do you tell your mother what you do?
I'm sorry?
What do you tell your mother about what you do?
Actually, now I'm embarrassed to tell my mother what I do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, you all.
Okay, so back here.
Yes. All right.
Have we finished this transaction?
No, actually, what what we saw was the inspector on board the ship putting in the deficiency report. That actually goes back to the project office. So, Kenny, let's take a look at what happens at the main application.
All right. Right now, I'm back in the office, and this is the web form application that we have written that was written and ported down to the PC. So I've got all the same functionality here, although I do have a little bit more information because I can get more on the screen.
So this is an ASP.NET application, right?
Yes, it is. And if we come in here, we can pull up the work item that we had that was submitted from over there. We have the same type of tabs. We can go in and look at the attachment, just like we did on the other list, and we can see that that is the valve that we brought with us. From there, we can go back, and I want to actually submit and say that this is approved. And we'll click on approved, and it will come back. And up here in the top corner, it gives us the IDR number that will be associated that the inspector will see going back on the other side.
So what does the inspector on the ship see once this happens in the office?
Well, I tell you what, let's go back over to back into our ship. We will reconnect our device back up. And from here, he's down inside the ship again.
Hold on one sec. Let's get that on. Okay.
Put it up on the screen. We pull up the same inspection discrepancy report that we had just a minute ago. We select the same valve. And then that will pull up. And this time what we're going to do is actually go into the same detail list, but we're going to go into the approval side. And we will see that it was approved by Kenny Roberts on 10/24, and I've got the same comments that the approver sent me back on the other side.
So that inspector now, without pausing, can move on to other work and be very efficient.
That's right.
So that saves money for Newport News, for the Navy, and for taxpayers.
That's right.
Well, this looks like it's fantastic. How many people do you expect to see using this?
Actually, we're going to start off with about 100 to 150 people that will start using it, and then it'll grow from there.
That's fantastic. Well, I can't wait to see it in action.
Yeah,
thanks, Kenny.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Yuval.
Thanks.
Thank you, Kenny. Great. So it's really easy for Kenny to tell his mother what he's doing. He's working on the Nimitz. So I'd like to recap again what we just saw. So first of all, the rich user experience, being able to see the exact part so we don't get mistakes there. Being able to work offline, having all the data on the device when it's offline, deep down in the Nimitz. Second, we saw the end-to-end integration to their web service and to their desktop application. And of course, last but not least, the developer productivity. Two developers, less than 2 weeks to get a working prototype of a real app. So this is very impressive. I'd like to shift now, go back to the other pillar that I talked about earlier, and talk about some of the work we're doing on devices targeting specific form factors and some of the operating system work that we're doing. Now, I've been at Microsoft for a long time, and we've been investing in trying to do things in devices for a long, long time. And as you know, at Microsoft, we're tenacious. We just keep going. We try, and if it doesn't work, we try again, and we keep trying, and we keep trying, and eventually we get it. And if this is not a great example of Microsoft being tenacious, then I don't know any. But finally, this last year, we're seeing some great momentum with Pocket PC and Windows CE. We're seeing, you know, a very large number of important OEMs partnering with us on these devices. We're seeing developers, over 100,000 developers using the embedded visual tools. And a couple of weeks ago, we released Pocket PC 2002 and got very, very positive feedback from everyone. So to show you the great features of Pocket PC 2002, but even more so to show you the new cool devices it'll enable in the coming year, I'd like to invite Pat Fox, director in the mobility group, to show us some of those cool gizmos.
Hey, Yuval.
How's it going?
Great, thanks.
So you don't have the backpack.
I don't have the backpack, but I do have a lot of great devices to show you.
Great.
So just as Yuval mentioned, a little over 2 weeks ago, we launched the new version of Pocket PC called Pocket PC 2002. A lot of great momentum we've made over the last year, and we really expect this new release of Pocket PC to continue that momentum. So what I'd like to do is spend a couple minutes and give you a quick tour of Pocket PC 2002, and also spend a couple minutes showing you some new innovative hardware that you can expect to see over the next year. Well, today you've seen a lot of the Compaq iPac, and we're certainly happy to continue to have Compaq as a close partner of ours, and we'll continue their great industrial design with Pocket PC 2002. To kind of shift gears and give you a quick peek at a new Pocket PC 2002, I brought a new HP Jornada device. And as you can see, this is a Pocket PC. It has a cover, a new bright screen, compact flash slot built in, and a fast processor. So we're really excited to have a new device from Hewlett-Packard shipping Pocket PC 2002. So what I'm going to do is zoom in here a little bit so you can have a closer look at the software. And what I'd like to do is spend the rest of my time talking to you a little bit about what's new in Pocket PC 2002. We really focused our effort in three primary areas. One is because we have such great momentum with Pocket PC already, we wanted to continue to enhance it and make it the best Pocket PC ever. The second area is really focusing on enterprise capabilities. We've got a lot of great traction in the corporate space, and we really expect to continue that. And so we listened to the corporate customers and built in a lot of new features that I'll tell you about. And then the third area is really around communications, recognizing that these devices are increasingly used in connected environments. So let's go back to the first one, the best Pocket PC. As you can see, we've enhanced the user interface. We've made the icons much crisper. It's much more consistent with what you'll see tomorrow, starting tomorrow, with the Windows XP launch. And so we're really excited about that. So let's drill in and take a look at some of the other areas that we've enhanced in the Pocket PC. You can see that we have the same familiar applications. All your Outlook information can be synchronized to the Pocket PC. And with Pocket PC 2002, you can now not only synchronize to your Outlook on your desktop, but directly to your server using Mobile Information Server. So now you can synchronize directly to the server without having your desktop on. So you're probably all familiar with the Outlook application, so I'll just kind of skip over those real quickly. We've also added some new applications in addition to the old Standby, Pocket Word, and Pocket Excel. We have the Microsoft Reader, supports Digital Rights Management 5. We've got the MSN Messenger for instant messaging when you're connected, as well as Terminal Server Client for those connected corporate environments. And I'll talk a little bit more about that when we get into the enterprise capabilities of the Pocket PC. Well, another area that we spend a lot of time talking about with respect to enterprise capabilities is security. And corporate customers are increasingly becoming security conscious. And so one of the areas that we enhanced in Pocket PC is really beefed up the password and security capabilities of the device, recognizing that increasingly with the line of business applications that you've seen today and yesterday, more and more business critical information is being stored on these devices. So that was a common request that we had from customers. The other area is around connectivity. And what I brought today is a Symbol compact flash wireless LAN card, uses 802.11. So what I'm going to do is slip this into the Pocket PC and show you how we've made it easier for the user to configure different connectivity settings. So I'm going to go to the Connections tab down here and bring up the Connections application. And we've given the user the capability to make settings for their work environment or core internet access via their ISP. And so you can go in and change your work settings. There's a tab here for virtual private network settings, proxy settings, if you want to do that. So let's take a look and see how this works. I'm going to switch over here, and hopefully our wireless local area network is working. I'm going to take a look here, see what kind of signal we have. This is the little application that comes with the Symbol card. Not getting a very good signal here. I'm going to pop it out and pop it back in. Hopefully that'll work. So let's go back go back here. I'm sorry for moving the device around on the screen. It's probably hard for you to see. I restart the device.
I'll control delete, huh?
Okay, there we go. Plugging in. I'm still having trouble getting that connection from backstage. So let me do this, just show you how with the Internet Explorer you can access, of course, internet-based information. You can also access intranet information, and using the VPN connection through the connection manager that I showed you is you can connect up through your corporate firewall and connect in and access your intranet information from the Pocket PC. The other areas that that we've enhanced in the Pocket PC 2002 are less business-oriented but more consumer-oriented. If you go into the settings, we've enabled the user to personalize the devices more, and we have themes that you can set up, and actually you can share them with other Pocket PC users using the infrared capabilities of the devices. So if you go back, you can see that you can customize this.
Huh?
So that's a quick tour of Pocket PC 2002. I don't want to spend too much more time on that. I want to show you some new hardware that we've been working on. This is a new device that is not available on the market yet. I'm zoomed out so you can take a look at it. As you can see, it's a Pocket PC form factor with an integrated radio built into it. And this radio will allow both voice and data communications.
So it's kind of taking a phone and the Pocket PC and fusing them together?
Exactly. So let's zoom in here so you can take a look at this. We've added exactly that, a phone application, so that you can dial a number, use it as a phone with a headset, or hold it up to your ear if you'd like, as well as connect out to the internet. But the work was more than just layering on a phone application. It was really about integrating this capability into all aspects of the Pocket PC. So to show you that, I'm going to switch over to your contacts and do something that you'd probably expect to be able to do is find a contact in your contact list and say, like, call him. So I want to call Kevin, so I'm going to click and hold. And you can see I have a bunch of options that pop up here. I could send him an SMS message, a text message, do some other things, but I want to call his work telephone, so I'm going to go ahead and click call. And you can see up here the little status icon. I'm now connected and calling Kevin Bruning. So while that's happening, I'm going to switch back over to the phone application, and you can see that I'm calling Kevin Bruning here. And while I'm on the phone with Kevin, I can actually go to my notes capability that is built into Pocket PC. And if I wanted to take some notes while I'm talking to him to remember what we talked about, I can do that while I'm on the call. So I can take a note here. Let's say, call back tomorrow. And the transcriber will recognize that and save that. So meanwhile, I'm on the call. You can see I've been on the call for 28 minutes. I'm going to end the call. And if I go to the call log here, you can see the different calls that I've made, outgoing as well as incoming. You can see where there are little notes here. If I click and hold here, I can view my note and get a recap of, cool. of the conversation.
Track of your life.
Yeah, so what you can see that we're doing here is we're really extending the Windows CE platform to new types of devices, new form factors. And I think that means a greater opportunity for all of you to take the skills that you have and the tools that you're familiar with and apply them to new types of devices. So we're really excited about this device. You can expect to see it in the UK early next year. And so we're working together with O2 on that.
So you guys, yesterday we had the debate between the zero and the ones, right? And you have the debate between the ones and twos. The people just have one device versus the people who have two devices. And this thing will just go to with the ones, right?
That will, absolutely. So there's another type of device that may appeal to a different class of the ones. And I'd like to show that to you very quickly here. So I'm going to zoom out again. This is a prototype, a hardware prototype of a device that you may have heard to refer to as Stinger. It's our smartphone, and what the smartphone does is it takes the best of the Pocket PC platform and moves it to a phone form factor. And it's not just a simple matter of porting the software over. We really had to do a lot of work to improve the user interface, because with a Pocket PC, you're fundamentally using it with two hands and double-clicking and tapping and holding and writing and things like that. With a phone, you need to be able to hold it in one hand and navigate around with your thumb. And I'm a little better at navigating with my thumb than I am with my forefinger, but I'm going to give it a try here. So what you can see is a very similar screen to what we had on the Today screen of the Pocket PC 2002, and I can navigate around using this little jog dialer, and I can go to my programs if I want to just select a program directly like that. Let's go to my inbox here, and you can see I've got some mail here. If I want to open up that message, I can click on it. I can scroll down with one hand. And you can see there are some links embedded in here. And of course, you would expect to do the logical thing for phone numbers that are embedded. I can click and dial and initiate a voice call. For the URLs that are embedded, I can click and go out to the internet and refresh those sites using the Pocket Internet Explorer that is on the phone here. Similarly, with the contacts, I can go down and show you the contacts. One of the key things that people commonly request on their phone is having the full contact synchronized with their Outlook device. So if I scroll down here to this contact, you can see not only do you have the phone numbers, but the home addresses, the work addresses, and things like that. So all the contact information is synchronized there. So, we're really excited about the breadth of devices that we're enabling with Windows CE, with Pocket PC, and our smartphone. We think that's a great opportunity for all of you to apply your Win32 development skills as well as your new .NET development skills. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
Yep.
Cool gizmos. Again, what did we see? I think you're getting a sense of how committed we are to investing in rich devices, rich user experience on devices, and the end-to-end integration of things like Passport and My Services, which Pat had not shown but are part of Pocket PC 2002. And again, in terms of the developer productivity, we have the existing embedded tools that targets Pocket PC 2002 today, and next year you'll be able to target them with the .NET framework. They'll be tightly integrated into the devices. So we're not only investing in the most popular form factors such as PDAs, phones, gaming consoles, TV set-top boxes, but we're also enabling our partners to build custom devices for specific solutions. And we're allowing them to do it both with Windows CE .NET, also known as Windows CE 4.0. So this is pretty cool. My head is kind of buzzing with all those gizmos. And you know what? I need your help. I want you to help me prioritize which of all these gizmos we should focus and prioritize first to get .NET framework and Visual Studio integration. So to remind you, we saw four gizmos: tablet PC, the wireless Pocket PC, the smartphone, and the next generation Pocket PC. When I count to three, I'd like each of you to shout which is the one you think you're most going to like to go and buy next year. One, two, three. Again. Okay. I think I heard tablet PC number one and wireless Pocket PC number two. Thanks for that help. We'll definitely focus our efforts on those two devices. So, again, I know I'm kind of a broken record, but what we saw here is the rich user experience doesn't get richer than this. We saw the end-to-end integration. And in terms of what you as developers can do, You can target it using the existing Visual Studio 6 tools using Calm, but we'll also have great integration with the .NET frameworks and Visual Studio.NET by the time Tablet PC comes out. So to really try and bring it all together and also talk about when all those different things become real and ship, I'd like to spend a minute going over with you on the timeline. So one of the things you've just seen is already shipping today. So we've said Pocket PC 2002 is shipping today. The Microsoft TV platform, we haven't seen it, was mentioned, is shipping today. And also the embedded visual tools, Visual Basic Plus, Visual Basic and embedded Visual C++ are shipping today. We also have quite a few things that are going to ship between now and the end of the year. It's going to be a busy time up in Redmond. So first of all, Windows CE for Autos is going to ship, and I was told that we've just signed some deals with some big automakers in Europe and Japan, and you can expect to see the high-end models from Toyota and BMW having Win CE right there in the dashboard. Windows XP Embedded, those guys are committed to ship 90 days after the Windows XP RTM, so they have about a month to go. That will ship in about a month. Windows CE.NET, also known as Windows CE 4.0, the next version of Windows CE, will ship before the end of the year. In terms of the developer platform, the tool side, as I mentioned before, the MIT toolkit will ship this year, same time as Visual Studio.NET and the .NET framework. You already have the preview for .NET Compact Framework and the Visual Studio smart device extensions. And the embedded Visual C++ 4.0 will ship at the same time as Windows CE.NET. So next year, into 2002. So next year, all these cool devices you just saw will be shipping. The wireless pocket PC, the smartphone, and the tablet PC. Also, my team is going to be working hard to get .NET Compact Frameworks and the SDE extension to Visual Studio from tech preview, it kind of works, to something you can bet on. And we're going to be busy at work on that. So what is it that I'd like you to do in the next few days and after that? So attend the technical sessions, learn as much as you can in the next few days about .NET, and in particular about .NET for devices. I also want you to continue what many of you have already been doing, and that is to learn and build applications using MIT, using play with the Compact Framework, and with Visual Studio.NET, and spread that word around, because I know, as many of you know, and as the folks from Cactus told us, their developers are not going back to what they're doing before. So spread that word around so we get even more people to use it. And so to close, I want to go back and talk about the bets we're making and the strategy we're taking with devices. And I hope that I, through the demos that we've shown you, I've convinced you that this is the right strategy that you will be able to bet on. The rich user experience, the end-to-end integration, and the best developer productivity. And also, in terms of the business model, the key opportunity over the next 2 years is going to be extending existing business models, especially in the corporate space, extending your desktop application from the desktop to the rich devices. And so my team is very committed. We know we have a lot of work to do to take the Compact Framework and SDE for VS from the preview today, so that in next year's PDC I can be here and tell you that it's real. It's ready for you to bet on it. And what I'm asking, so we're betting on this, and we're committed to get it done. And what I'm asking you to do is to play with the early bits, give us feedback, to bet with us on the .NET on devices, so we can all be successful together. Thank you very much.